One of the songs that we sang was Psalms 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord is true and righteous altogether. Then the chorus says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You would think those that saying that they want to serve God would use just his words and nothing else. Because in all reality, you cannot do better than the words of God to guide your life. And every lesson that comes from the Bible, it is a learning moment for you or the ones that you are trying to teach. And the title of this particular lesson is Dear Reverend. Now, I am sure you have heard on many occasions people speaking about someone in their church and calling him Reverend. Now, I myself used to do that when I was young, because I had no idea about this word reverend and where it came from. I assumed every person that was in a pulpit was called reverend. There was a lot of things that I assumed that was true because these people could not be wrong. They was teaching the Bible. And we can say that most people have a well intention and they're showing respect to these people that go around with the word reverend in front of their name. But you know, this is not from the Bible. Now, I've done some research, and I think it's interesting to me, and hopefully it's interesting to you, that when you confront people that talk about their reverend, you could use some of these passages or some of the history and say, where is that in the Bible? Now, I like history. I like to watch the History Channel. And sometimes they have a lot of interesting things that come about. And one of the things that I've noticed that we must be careful about history, the things in history will come back sometimes to haunt you. And in this particular program that was on, it was dealing with the after effect of the Civil War. When the blacks had their freedoms, they was prospering, and they were having their churches. But one of the things that the leaders back then were saying was, we need preachers in the pulpit to be well educated, so they can tell everybody that's flocking into the church what to do. And this word reverend is not one of these words that just came along yesterday. It was out for a very, very long time. And all of these educated people that were in these churches Look at where a lot of those churches are today. So they couldn't have been that well educated, because the Bible and the words in the Bible are so simple that you can't misunderstand what it's saying. Now, I asked the question earlier today, okay, since we want to find out how long this word has been around and how has it affected not only this country but other countries, and the Civil War, according to the information that I got, was from 1861 to 1865. So that's when the Civil War ended, but we're going to find out this word was around a lot longer and how people put it into their vocabulary. Now, depending on your translation, we want to look at this word reverent if it's in the Bible. And I'm sure most of you know what the Bible say about this word. For example, that word is used only of God in our English Bible, the King James and the New American Standard. And it says something like this: He has sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. That's the American Standard. He has sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. That's the King James. Now, other translations will say this: He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Now, we're going to be looking at some of the other translations and see what the word says there. Well, we have awesome, fearsome, awe-inspiring, terrifying. Now, when you bring this up to people that says, my name is Reverend, and you throw out some of those words to them and say, are you awesome? Are you terrifying? Put their feet to the floor and says, why are you using, or for example, awe-inspiring? That's what these words mean when you go and look up the definitions. Now, I wanted to find out just what does the various Bibles that I had at my disposal say about this word. Now, I have the ESOR. I think it's a pretty good pre-program. I have 28 Bibles on there. I took every one that was in English. And out of the 28, five of them do not have Psalms 111. They don't have nothing to say about it. Now, here's my conclusion. Four times we have his name is awesome and holy. Four times in those translations. Three times we have holy and terrible is his name. One time we have he is fearsome and holy. Two times we have holy and fearful is his name. One time we have holy is his name and greatly to be feared. Three times we have holy and reverent is his name. One time we have holy and awful is his name. One time we have His name is holy and terrifying. One time we have holy and mighty is He. And one time we have holy and fearful is His name. And yet this term reverent has become one of the many titles by various religious leaders. Do you think they know what the definition of that word means? I don't. And I don't think anybody in their respective religions has ever said anything to them about this word. Why are you using this? Because if you're in a certain denomination, you're just as ignorant as the guy in the pulpit. Because you're listening to him and not God's word. You're not getting into God's word and finding out what it says and getting out of it. For example, in the Orthodox churches, the following are used depending on one position. Now, one thing I've noticed here in this world, everybody wants a position. They want to be higher than the next person. In the military, look at that rank. Nobody to senior. A lieutenant to a general, Navy, admiral. Everybody says, look at me, who I am. In job situations, titles. Everybody wants a title to show who I am. If you look at police officers, those guys in charge, they got stars on their collar saying who they are. Are they really that important? No. But to them, this shows who I am. So, His all holiness, His beatitude, His eminence, His excellence, the right reverend, the very right reverend. You look at a Catholic Bible, depending on how large it is, and you go through and everybody's got a title that's outdoing the next person. Why? The very reverend father, reverend father. Mother Superior. Among the Protestant churches, it's not uncommon to find these titles: Father, Doctor, Apostle, Bishop, Pastor, Elder, Deacon, Evangelist, Preacher, Minister, and Teacher. But you know, the Bible talks about the apostles. Certain words, the bishop, the pastor, the elder, those three are the same person. But everybody wants to be somebody. When I go to work in the morning, I listen to this radio station that has music, and then the guy spends some time talking about what's going on at the different churches. And he has been saying that there's somebody out there by the apostle so-and-so and so. There are some female that is a bishop. Some female is a pastor. I've heard someone say, well, right now I am trying to move up to be a bishop. Does anybody take the time to ask them, who are these folks? What does the Bible say about these things? And this is an opportunity for us, when we hear it, to ask these questions. Where do you get that from? Now, here's some information. According to some information that I found, all of these terms start coming around, such as Reverend, somewhere around 1389 and supposedly mid-French. This is when it's supposed to have started. But somebody else had to get their hand in it. Another definition says, used as a title of respect, applied or prefix to the name of a member of the clergy or a religious order, worthy to be reverend, entitled to reverence, pertaining or characteristics of the clergy. Now this one says the origin is somewhere around 1400 to 1450, late Middle English. And of course they throw in this Latin stuff that most of us can't pronounce anyway, so I'm not even trying. But this Latin reverence or something like that, it says fit to be reverend. Okay, it says also see rever, which says love unquestionably and uncritically or to excess. Variant as an idol. Now, for those of you of age, you probably remember this. Many teenagers revel the Beatles. You remember that when it came through, how people got crazy over the Beatles? Falling out. This word means variant as an idol. Regarded with feelings of respect and reverence, consider hallowed, exalted, or be in awe of reverent God as your Father. That's what it should be. Very, very reverent, right, reverent. It says also see most reverent. And then they have the abbreviations we see today, R-E-V. Before it used to be R-E-V-D, but somebody didn't want to put that on the back of their name. So it says a title of respect for a clergyman, preferred or the Reverend John Smith or Reverend Mr. Smith or Dear Mr. Smith. This is how they say an example of that. Then they give another year, 1428, 1485. As a form of address for clergy, it is attested from 1485, earlier reverence, and when you're looking for definition, there's always some things there that you have no idea what they're talking about. And there was this C dot. So we looked it up, and it's circa, if I'm pronouncing it right. Now here is what that means. According to these individuals, in genealogy and historical writings, C dot means and is used when the dates of events are approximately known. They don't even know, but they got to put something in it. So they say that 1380 in this sense. The abbreviation Reverend is attested from 1721. Earlier, it used to be Rev, with that D, in 1693. Here's something else that I didn't know. Very, very reverend is used of deans, right reverend of bishop, most reverend of archbishops, and it also means deacons. You can call, in whatever organization you're in, you can call a deacon reverend. The ordinary English prefix of written address to the name of ministers of most Christian denominations. In the 15th century, it was used as a general term of respect. But it has been habitually used as a title prefix to the name of ordained clergymen since the 17th century. In the Church of England, prefects apostolics who are not in episcopal pay order, deans, provosts, cathedral cantons, rectors or seminars, and colleges, and priors and prioress are addressed as very reverend. Bishop, abbot, abbotess, and vicar general are addressed as right reverend. And archbishops and, in the Roman Catholicism, cathedrals are addressed as most reverend. The Church of Scotland, they use right reverend. They like the title reverend. Venerable Father. You know, I wouldn't be saying these things if I can't get them out of my mouth now. But people do. Show a sign of respect. Then we have Doctor or Master. Now, let's look at some things. The use of the titles. And this is from the Esword. And they said things such as this. This may belong to the family, which we understand, titles. An inscription put over anything as a name by which it is known. The inscription in the beginning of a book contains the subject of the work and sometimes the author name. I had the computer try to pronounce this word for me, and it was working at that moment. An appellation of dignity, distinction, or preeminence given to persons as Duke and the like. Then we have this, right, or that which constitutes a just cause of exclusive possession, that which is the foundation of ownership as a good title to an estate, or an imperfect title. The lowest degree of title is naked possession. And lastly, the right of property, all which unite complete the title. So you see, there is a bunch of stuff out there that talks about this title. But you know, I looked up, and in the Bible, at least according to my concordance, the Bible does talk about a title. It only talks about it one time. So let's look at what this title says. John 19:19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That's the only title that was given for Jesus. He was the King of Jews. Now we want to look at some things that Jesus condemned. Remember, the scribes and the Pharisees loved to be called Rabbi. In Matthew 23:7, and greeting in the marketplace and being called rabbi by others. Jesus forbid his disciples from being called rabbi in Matthew 23:8. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. Matthew 23:9. It says, and call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Matthew 23:10, neither be called instructor or master, for you have one instructor, the Christ. Men use these titles to exalt men. Jesus condemns the use of titles and salutations that exalt men above another. Matthew 23:6. And the love of the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplace and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But when we look at what Christ tries to teach us, everything is contrary to these titles. In Matthew 23:11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And I decide, what in the world is this word abased mean? And the definition of that says low or bottom. Bear low. So, what it is saying to us about this word abased, we are to be lower or depressed, thrown or cast down when it comes to trying to say, look at me, in the world of religion. We are nobody other than servants. We are to be cast down to reduce ourselves the lower, to depress, to humble, to be degraded. And you know, this applies to passions, ranks, office, and condition in life. We're not supposed to think we're higher than anybody else. But we have all seen people. They may not call themselves reverent, but we see them thinking they're better than anybody else. That's not what God wants. He says we're all equal. In Daniel 4, folks are condemned because they were walking in pride, but he was able to debase them. In Matthew, Job, and 2 Corinthians, he deals with people who exalt themselves above anybody else. So, basically, that should not be our problem. We should want to be called a servant. No matter what we're doing, we're no better than anybody else here in this congregation. For example, again, Matthew 23:8, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. We are brothers. I have a story. One day at work, Rufus got finished his part of the job, driving the J1 people around. And he came over to me and says, Cookie, where is that passage in the Bible that talks about you should not call anybody reverend? And I told him, and he says, I believe it was his brother. He says, my brother-in-law talked to his pastor and told him that nobody should be called this. Nobody should be called reverend and all of these other things. Now, here's the good one. Can you imagine what this pastor told Rufus' brother-in-law, a brother? He said, I don't care what you say. Nobody is going to call me brother. Isn't that some arrogance? That he will not be called by what the Bible says he should be called. But he wants to be known as the pastor. And if you listen to people around here, they are my pastor, my pastor, my pastor. And we need to use that opportunity to say, wait a minute. Or your pastor or pastors following what Titus and Timothy are saying. And of course we know they don't. So then ask, why are they calling themselves pastors if they're not following God's word? See, we've done our job. We've put out the seed. It's strange to me that men, and prior to me knowing what the Bible was all about, there was many men that was saying that they are Reverend so-and-so and Reverend such-and-such, and God condemns that. That's not what we ought to be called. If we want to be called something, we should be called saints, Christians, brethren. These are the things that God say we ought to be calling ourselves, if that. And you know, when you look at the things in the Bible, they show a description of what these people were. For example, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, they show a description of what individuals are to do. That's not a title. And Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers. And I decided to look at what some of these designations mean. Well, a delegate messenger, one sent forth with orders, the apostles. Specifically applied to the 12 apostles of Christ. Now, the meaning of that word means one sent forth. And we could technically say, I am apostle of this congregation. But put it in its right terms. All we are is somebody that's going to go out in behalf of this congregation to teach the truth. But the people want to say, well, hey, I'm a prophet, or I am an apostle. Prophet, an interpreter of oracles or of other hidden things. One who moved by the Spirit of God and hence his origin or spokesman solemnly declared to men what he has received by inspiration, especially concerning future events, and in particular, such as related to the cause of the kingdom of God. That's what the definitions say a prophet is. But you got these people who are saying, I am a prophet. But what are they saying? What new information are they giving us from God? None. Evangelist, a bringer of good tidings, an evangelist. The name given to the New Testament heralds of salvation through Christ who are not apostles. Pastors, a herdsman, especially a shepherd. In the parable, he to whom care and control others have committed themselves and whose perception they follow. We know what the definition of pastors means. Men who are qualified to lead the church according to the word of God. Not to say, let us be the pastor of this church. No, it doesn't work that way. Teacher. The first one was real simple. A teacher. But then in the New Testament, one who teaches concerning the things of God and the duty of men. One who is fitted to teach. Now here's, I thought was really interesting. One who is fitted to teach or thinks himself so. Now we understand what the Bible talks about teachers. And I'm going to cover that here in a moment. In James 3:1, and of course there's false teachers. And we got to know what the Bible says to know who's a false teacher. James 3:1 says, not many of you should become teachers, my brethren, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And I decided to look up to see what some intelligent men say about this passage. And here's what an individual said. Their case is awful, which means the greater condemnation. They shall receive greater condemnation than common sinners. They have not only sinned in thrusting themselves into the office to which God has never called them. And a lot of the stuff that I read says that's an office under the Jewish system. But through their insufficiency, the flock over whom they have assumed the mastery perish for lack of knowledge, and their blood God will require at the watchman's hand. A man may have this mastery according to the laws of the land, and yet not have it according to the gospel. Another may affect to have it according to the gospel, because he dissent from the religion of the state, and not have it according to Christ. I think this is pretty good what this person then says. Blockheads are common, and knives and hypocrites may be found everywhere. But you know, 2 Timothy teaches this, and we heard it this morning. In 2 Timothy 2:2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. All we do is teach what the Bible says. And the beauty of the Bible is this. You do not have to wonder, what does the Bible say about anything that's going to get us to heaven? The Bible tells us. If it's not there, then we leave it alone. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we're told, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. That is the responsibility of every person that say, I am a Christian. You should know the scriptures in and out. So when you have an opportunity to teach somebody, you can teach them without being ashamed. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, when somebody comes up to you and say, I'm Reverend so-and-so, I am Bishop so-and-so, I am whatever, what are you going to say? Yes, okay. What are you going to do when you meet some prominent religious person and they're introducing him as, this is the most right reverend,
What do you guys say? Hello, Mr. Jones. That's the right thing to say. Hello. Not hello, Your Eminence. Hello, Father so-and-so. Hello, Mr. Whoever. In South Dakota, a man came along visiting the congregation. And, you know, I introduced myself to him. Guess what he told me his name was? I am Elder So-and-so. I am Elder So-and-so. Now, why do you think he needed a title? You know, if anybody needs a title, why didn't Jesus have one? If anybody needed a title, why didn't the apostles have one? These men were greater than anybody living here today. But what were they called? Paul, Peter, James, John. I had to go to visit a young man that was in the outs of jail. You know, that place that you go and you could be on the outside and work and all of this. And we had it scheduled for Sunday mornings. And some of the men that was interested would take the time and go and try to study with it. And so I went there, and I had on a suit. And there was this young girl sitting on the stoops. And she says, "Who are you?" I said, "Nobody." "Who are you?" I said, "I'm nobody." She said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm Cookie." But what she was trying to get to, "Who are you?" "I am Reverend Cookie." No. You are who you are. Whatever the name that your parents gave you, that's who you are. When you introduce yourself to somebody that comes in here to this congregation, you say, "I am so-and-so." But, like, for instance, most of the men in here, we lead singing. And if it's your time to sing, you can say, "I am the minister of songs." See? You want a title. That is not what it's all about in the Lord's church. You are Cookie, Roger, Jim, Jeff, Bob. That's all you are. You're nobody in the kingdom of God but a servant. And that's what we have to act like. And when we have this opportunity to talk to somebody, we need to tell them, because our soul is in jeopardy if we just space it off. Their souls are in jeopardy because they're following a false teacher. We're supposed to be sowers of the word. And there's a passage that I hope you remember. It says that we are not supposed to fear the one that can kill the body, but we should be fearful of the one that can kill both body and soul. That's who we should be fearful of. I hope you got something from this lesson, because I believe you will be confronted someday with some of these things. And how are you going to respond? I pray that you respond the right way by telling the truth, by showing them the truth. Because we supposedly have the truth. and we're not afraid. And like I said, I know somewhere along the line, this will come. It's going to come. Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be that watchman that when you see danger come, are you going to alert people? I pray that you do. If you have any need of this congregation, please come while we sing the invitation song.